You're listening to Live from Rye, psychological and local chit-chat from a rock sticking out of the Romney Marshes, with your hosts, Timberlina and Justina.
Hello, darling.
Hello, darling. Are you fed and watered now?
I'm fed and watered, and well, I'm slowly warming up. It's freezing cold. What can I say?
I know. Isn't it horrible out?
Well, it's very foggy. I know. I am reassured by the freezing weather, I have to say. By the frozen conditions, I have to say. It does make me feel reassured.
In what way?
Well, that even apparently, despite the fact that the world has gone up by an average of 1.2 degrees Celsius, we're still getting frost.
Still, yes, that's true. I was wondering, somebody said that to me last night, how come we've got all this snow and this cold weather and it's global warming? And I have to say, you know, the other thing, it's really good for the earth, frost.
Yes, absolutely.
It's wonderful, isn't it? Saves you lots of work.
Saves you lots of work, kills little, you know, nasty insects and vermin, all those kind of things.
Yes, I might put my headphones on, actually. I think it sounds better, doesn't it?
For effect. Live on effect. Zoom. Ooh.
The visual effect sounds better.
Exactly.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
That's basically what
I'm
trying to say.
Come on, come out with it.
That's
say what you mean.
What I'm trying to say, yes.
Let's get the visual. Oh, that would be... Oh, they've gone wonky.
Well, they look fancy for the viewers at home.
Anyway, nice idea.
Nice idea. Oh, what, we're not
doing that. Gardening today?
I've been doing some gardening today. I had a very interesting moment when there were two robins in the garden at the same time. What I've been doing is mulching the leaves.
Yeah.
And rather than sending them off to be processed, I've been putting them in bags and leaving them outside in the sun for like a few weeks. So that they break down a little bit and get a bit moist. And then
you need to stick them on the beds, you see. You need to poke holes in the bags.
Oh, yes, all of that, absolutely.
Good, yeah. I'm talking to a converted person already.
Well, indeed. But it's, I mean, I'm just putting it on the beds, basically. And, of course, in the process of all of that, there's lots and lots of worms. And who likes worms? Well, Mr. Cock Robin loves a worm. And I just think that robins are my favourite bird, I have to say.
They
come right up close to you.
Sorry,
no?
Sorry, sparrows. I love sparrows.
Oh, sparrows, right.
The humble sparrow.
The one that killed Cock Robin.
No, that's
who
just
killed Cock Robin?
I said the sparrow with my bow and arrow.
Bow and arrow.
No,
exactly.
But then doesn't it go on and the next verse says, I said the blue tit, I gave him a big hit. I said the magpie with
eye. Do you know what leapt out in the road in front of me today as I was going to the tip?
In the road?
Yes.
What?
Peacock.
Where?
Peacock. Where? Towards Battle.
Ooh.
Mm. Peacock.
Well, that's strange.
That would have made a good roadkill supper, wouldn't it? If I'd hit that.
Oh, I say, you would have had to dress up in medieval costume, though.
I would have done. Well, I'd have had the feathers, wouldn't I? That would have been handy.
That's true. That would have made some lovely hats.
Yes. And mittens, well, I mean, probably a cushion with the feathers on that. That would be nice. But I was just going to say about the robins, it was very funny because I know that robins are very territorial. And whilst their thrilling tones does sound... always sounds so friendly, and I always think, oh, it's my friend the robin. What, in fact, I think the robin is saying is, get out of here, fuck off, get off my land.
That's that lovely little song. That's too bright, man.
And for the viewers at home, Justine is now changing the lighting.
Yes, I need
for
to
your
get
viewing
the lighting.
Pleasure.
Yes.
I mean, it's only for us. To be fair,
I know it is, but no. It's too. I was actually going to, because time is marching on. Not that I'm rushed or anything.
No.
I was thinking, it might be time to have a quick glass of something as well. Thingy.
It is rapidly approaching 5 o'clock.
I know. It's just after 10 to.
And bearing in mind that the days are shorter, so the more, you know, get up later, go in later. So you might as well, silly not to,
could I say. Do.
What would you be imbibing on this evening?
Well, I happen to have a bottle of Prosecco that I opened, a large bottle.
Ooh.
And I thought it was a bit excessive to drink the whole bottle, so I've saved some. What about you?
Well, interesting that you say that, because we haven't got Prosecco. I had quite a nice time with the foraged berries and converting them into flavoured liquors. So
ooh,
I've got
yes.
a fine selection of cherry brandy. I've got a sloe gin, obviously,
of course,
and a hawthorn vodka.
Ooh.
The latter being strictly medicinal, obviously.
Well, I was just about to say that. Do you realise?
Yeah. It's very good. Hawthorn's full of vitamin C, apparently. Meanwhile...
Hawthorn is a very good for the heart.
Oh, right.
For the what's the name system?
The blood system?
It's a word that... I don't know. I always have trouble with remembering this word. Mm. The vascular, that's the word.
Vascular?
The cardiovascular.
Oh, cardiovascular, like what exercises? Oh, what's that thing? If you had a hawthorn vodka, you wouldn't need to do any exercise. Is that what you're saying? Because I like that.
That sounds good, yeah. I'm done anyway, so I might as well have some vodka anyway then.
You're doing bits
of gardening.
To
make up for not having done any.
You're doing bits of gardening, and you go out and pick your own kindling. That's fitness.
I do. I do. I've got a lot now, but it probably won't last. So tell me about the lot. Are we on thingy or not?
Absolutely, of course we are. Absolutely.
Oh, are we? Oh, good. Okay.
All good.
Well, I want to show you. I know our dear listener can't see, but
yes.
I was so inspired by your boots yesterday.
Right.
And when I was given mine, which was secondhand.
Yes. So just to fill in the listeners very quickly, we had a conversation yesterday when we went on the socially distance friendly walk to pick up kindling, and we were talking about shoes because we both have a very favoured clog that we wear. It's a clog shoe that we both have secondhand shoes, don't we?
We do.
So go on, tell us.
So when I was given mine, I didn't feel they'd been loved. Maybe they'd been loved originally, but they haven't been loved for quite a long time.
Mm.
And I did try, when I first got them, I did try and, do what they do in that programme on telly where they make something look as if new.
You mean like the repair shop, which I'm completely obsessed with?
That's the one. But I don't know. I couldn't seem to... The leather wouldn't seem to absorb the... They were dry and dull. Anyway, I was so inspired by your boots yesterday.
Yeah.
Look what I did. You won't recognise them.
You polished them up. I don't recognise them.
Look, a beautiful colour.
I don't recognise them. Look at that. Beautiful polished shoe.
And do you know what I did, though?
You've cleaned them right up. You washed them.
And then I put the polish on, water and a brush. Right. But I put the polish on when they were wet.
Wet.
And it gone into the leather.
Because I need to do that with my other leather boots.
There you go. That's what they do in the army. They spit on them. But mine were wet, so that did the job.
I was going to say, that's what the spit is about. Spit and polish. Spit and polish.
Yeah, they spit on there and then put the polish on. Because the liquid sort of opens the pores of the leather, if you like.
It doesn't crack then, does it?
No. And then, aren't they beautiful? I use nearly half a tin of polish on the two.
So satisfying, isn't it? So satisfying polishing a shoe.
It's wonderful. And then I remembered I had these things upstairs. I bought one cold winter and I never used them. And I'm going to show you.
Show me.
That is fleece.
Oh, yes.
That's fleece. And then on that side, look at that.
You got them in Aldi, didn't you?
No, I got them in a Rise shoe repair shop.
Oh, Rise Premier. Oh, well, let me tell you, they sell them in Aldi.
Well, of course.
Can I just say...
Only now and then.
Two pairs for £1.49. How much is he charging?
Kidding.
No.
Right.
I mean,
well,
who knows? Who knows how, where, and who made them? But
so I've got luxury boots now. You see,
they are luxury.
So can't wait for my next walk, and I can't take them off now either.
I mean, you know, so, cheap Bear Whaley boots. I got mine because my well, I mean, I told you about the outcry that caused by the fact that my Hunter Whaleys have got a hole at the bottom.
Oh dear. Have you taken them to Rye's Shoes?
Well, I mean, he'll say, you know, pop a little bit of rubber glue in there. I've used a Yoo-Hoo, and I did try popping them in a puddle, and it sort of worked, but I'm not entirely convinced. So I sort of wear them for best, really. So I've got a pair of Whaleys for best and a pair of Whaleys for mud. But, you see, Jill, you know, our mutual friend Jill, I'll say nothing more. She says Hunter Whaleys are strictly for standing around watching polo. They're not really for doing any hard work in. I think she's probably right. So now I've got a new pair of green Whaleys for doing the work in. And I popped a pair of those fleecy shoes, cheesy foot, fleecy foot things in it.
Yes.
And, well, what a difference a fleecy foot thing makes. That's all I can say. In a cold pair of Whaleys.
And
yes.
And where, can I ask about your Whaleys? Where did you get them?
I got them from Channon's, which for the listeners is our local farm store.
Yes. So are they proper, like, fireman boots?
Well, I mean, they're a Dunlop. They're a £15 pair. I mean, I thought...
Oh,
I'm
very
not gonna,
good.
I'm not going to go for anything special.
No.
No. And,
I got a lovely pair of little Whaleys that I've had for many, many years, and they're French ankle boots, and they're beautiful, but if we were to go in deep mud proper like yesterday, I'd need the Dunlop ones.
You want a higher one, or what do you call it? What do they call them? What do they go for when you go wild walking and you wear a, not a spat, that's a shoe, isn't it? What are they called?
Oh, I know, thingies.
Yes, those, yes.
Those ones, yes, I know.
Listeners,
yeah.
Write in, tell us what the word is we're looking for.
Yes.
But anyway, you know what I mean. They go up sort of like your
putties.
Shoes. Who?
Putties.
Putties? What?
Yeah.
Galoshes? No.
No, putties.
Putties. What?
I've got galoshes. My French ones are galoshes. They're just ankle. And they're very nice. You just slip them on.
Do you start
and they're
speaking?
Very, very comfortable.
Does it make you speak in a French accent when you wear them?
Of course.
And do you have to tell customs that you're wearing them now?
No, people say, oh, I can see your boots are slightly, they've got a little bit of style in them.
You mean people in Italy can say?
No, people in Delhi, actually. But
right.
No, they are, the shape of them is very elegant, you know.
Are they a posh, fancy French make? Because...
they're not any designer thing.
Oh, right. They sell a posh, fancy French one in Channon's, actually.
No, probably not. Probably not my one. I haven't even noticed a name on them, actually.
Well, there we are. I haven't seen them, so you'll have to wear them on a walk, maybe a dry walk. Or
a drier walk. Yes.
Yes. And I got the wood from that chap that we talked about as well. That was very exciting. Just to, again, recap for the listeners. Wood, burning wood, which is a sort of, carbon-neutral way of burning things, isn't it? Sort of. We kid ourselves for that.
But if it's naturally sourced wood, i.e. naturally sourced and untitivated.
Untitivated.
So not offcuts from the builder.
No, like from an actual tree that maybe fell down or was felled specifically.
Yes.
We unleash the carbon that's been storing in it for ages, and then a new tree will grow and absorb more carbon. It's the beautiful cycle of life. So anyway, I drove, therefore defeating the whole object of the exercise, to the chap, and you basically help yourself and then pay what you think. It's like one of those... charity clothes shops.
Ooh,
where you fill a bag and then you say you pay them what you think is worth.
And what was he happy with what you...
He was very happy. I probably could have offered him less. He didn't even look in the car and see how much I had. So I could have taken, I could have, done all kinds of things, really, but I didn't. But I do have a classic reputation for constantly underselling myself.
Underselling.
So, it was enough for me to try and sort of like, you know, start a bartering system, which I figured that I probably over time, I mean, who knows, but I recommend it.
I'm going to phone later and go tomorrow.
Do you have one of those, do you have a couple of IKEA bags or something like that?
I do have some big bags, yes. Let's
take some of those up.
Good idea.
Anyway.
And are they a good size, the logs? They look little in the photograph.
Well, they are quite little, but they're a good size. I mean, some of them are quite long.
You've got a huge fireplace, haven't you?
Yes, we've got a big angle look downstairs, but we don't use that for fires. We only use that for roasting pigs and small children.
Good.
And then we have one in the living room, which is, you know, a little bit.
You've got a
fancy
basket, haven't you? One of them, a big basket in your...
Very large basket, yes.
Yeah.
Now, yesterday you also mentioned the fairway tree. Did you manage to find anything else about the fairway tree?
No, not the fairway tree.
Is it called the fairway?
Not the Fair Isle tree either. No. The wayfaring tree.
Oh, wayfaring tree.
You see, it goes out of my head. I'm so sorry. I haven't looked it up, but maybe
you don't
can
need
do
to
that
apologize.
Right now.
We can.
Yes. Go on, then.
Are you going to do that? Oh, really? Okay.
I'll do it, yes.
Is it strictly called a wayfaring tree?
Wayfaring tree, yes.
Tree. Wayfaring tree. There we are. Oh, viburnum. Folklore. Ooh. There's, edible, pruning, leaves, fruit, uses. Ooh. Well, it says viburnum. That's interesting.
Well, it's the family, I think.
It is viburnum lantana, according to the Woodland Trust.
Okay.
A welcome sign you're homeward bound.
Yes,
the
isn't that lovely?
The wayfaring tree is so named because it grows close to paths. Look for them in hedges and woodland edges.
Yes.
Look at that. How poetic. Hedges,
that's lovely.
Hedges and woodland edges.
Woodland edges. With the hawthorn.
With full bloom in the spring and heavy with berries in the autumn. Oh.
Yes. I thought they look a little bit like a white beam tree. Do you know white beam tree?
No.
Oh, they're very pretty and they have lovely red berries. What did you say about you're nearly home when you see one?
Yes, yes, indeed. The flowers look rather like elderflowers in little bunches,
that's
which then
right,
become berries.
Yes.
I wonder if there's a relation there, maybe, I'm not sure. Anyway, and then flat-top scented, called an umbel, yes. The fruit, scoops of oval, flattened berries, which start off red, then turn black. Oh, both colours can be seen together here. Yes. Oh, they're poisonous. Right. So they're not like...
Okay. Yeah.
Not to be confused with the guelder rose, Viburno opulus, of course, but where all the flowers that make up the umbel are the same size, whereas those of the guelder rose are larger on the outside and smaller ones at the centre. But I think that's possibly already too much information.
Yes, I think so too. The first two sentences of what you
yes,
said.
Yes, me too. Now it's telling me I can get a nap and find out about it, but I'm not really interested in it.
I'm interested, actually, because I've come across this tree so much recently as jumping out of an ancient hawthorn hedge. So they obviously, I wonder if they left them as trees originally. Mm. To dot about in the hedges, or if they were meant to be cut integral to the hedge. I don't know. I must look it up.
Going to look up the folklore now.
I will.
Right. So yes, we've got Myths and Legends Gallery, Wayfaring. I wonder if that's going to give us anything. Very exciting. That's a nice little website there. A deciduous shrub with a pale brown downy twigs. The leaves are in opposite pairs, blah, 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 blah. Do something, something, something. Oh, no, sorry. No.
That's okay.
My mistake. Bit of a garden path there. With
not to worry. No. Yes, I'm going to do a little bit of research if I can remember. And the other thing that, really, medieval times, I was remembering that this is Candlemas, which comes after Epiphany. And I think you burn candles. You're
sounds
meant to
like
burn
it.
Candles, and it's a lovely, warm, peaceful, glowing, stay inside kind of thing.
Well, I think that sounds very appropriate for now. I was listening to something, and they were saying that in fact we can back in the olden days, basically Christmas was all of January.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
So you kept all your nice things up, all your decorations, yes, right up until the beginning of February, which makes perfect sense, because I don't want to do anything all the way through January.
I'm not taking mine down. I've hardly got any up anyway, but I'm just leaving them, and all my Christmas cards as well are staying. They're all staying.
Well, you don't mind, do you?
No.
I like your little hanging. I can see little hanging reindeer. Are they little?
My reindeer.
They're very pretty.
Yes, they are, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes, so what decorations have you got, if any?
Well, I've taken them all down now, I have to say.
Oh, okay.
I'm not a huge fan, but
no,
we used a giant twig instead of a tree this year.
Yeah.
And I have to say that has remained in the living room.
Yeah.
As a sort of ornamental twig.
Yeah, me too. I not a twig. Well, I did some twigs, some berries, hawthorn berries.
Lovely.
Some
ivy. We did ivy.
Old man's beard. Yeah, ivy. Old man's beard, and I found some. It was goldenrod because I saw it in the summer when it was goldenrod, and
who's
that's
he?
From.
it
a yarrow.
Fun.
Is it called a yarrow? No, it's not yarrow, is it? What is it? Golden seal. Anyway, it's dried to fluffy heads, so I put some of those in as well.
Lovely.
And then I hang some little bells, balls on it, glass balls and things.
Oh, Solidago.
Well.
Golden rod,
Solidago.
That's
the one.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're growing wild. You know when you walk along by the fire station?
All right.
Opposite there, there's all hedgerow.
Yes.
And I often get things there, blackberries and ivy berries as well, which are beautiful, lovely black clusters.
Well, I love the idea of the golden rod. That sounds great. And it's got health benefits, apparently, used in both traditional medicine, Chinese medicine and herbal medicine in some European countries.
Right, okay. Yes, so that's that. And I also wanted to ask you about your fish pie.
The fish pie, Mr. Timberlina. Listeners, Mr. Timberlina made a fish pie that was just exceeds all expectation on so many levels. BBC, BBC Cooking, whatever it's called, that website, you know.
Good Food. Good,
yes, that's
BBC
the one.
Good Food, yeah.
And it's the saffron mash fish pie recipe. And I mean, I'm sure this is probably old news to you, but when we make mash in our household, the Timberlina household, we only use olive oil these days. There's no point in doing butter because you can reheat the mash with an olive oil and you can make it, you know, just as whippy the next day, which I think is a very good, obviously it's good cooking and it's obviously quite good for the pocket because it means you can make the mash last longer. Well,
it might be more healthy too.
Give or take. And I think it would be more healthy as well. But it tastes great and creamy. And then in there is also a sort of like lemon juice and lemon zest situation with saffron.
In the mash?
Is it in the mash or is it in the juice of the fish?
That's
fancy mash. It was very fancy mash. Well, I mean, let's just say there's saffron in the mash with the olive oil, maybe a little hint of the lemon zest as well in the mash.
Ooh.
And then the fish are sort of rustled up in a gorgeous juice of cream and possibly even more sort of lemon juice there.
Yeah. Ooh.
Absolutely amazing.
Well,
it was a very lovely distraction from what was going on at the time, which was basically the downfall of Western civilization.
Oh, right, yes.
Oh, yes,
yes,
it was quite
course,
a nice
yes.
bit of distraction for
yes.
us. And we
yes.
accompanied it with a kimchi coleslaw.
Ooh, did you make that
yes.
there and then?
Yes, absolutely.
And tell us about that. What was in that and with it?
Well, Justina, as you know, we do love to have a kimchi floating around in the fridge in its own little container. Evidently, in Korea, they have their own kimchi fridges, but we just have kimchi in the municipal fridge, so to speak. So it had a red lettuce. It had a red red cabbage. I used romaine lettuce. I used matchstick. I chopped up carrots into matchsticks. Then you chop up some of the kimchi itself. You sort of strain a bit of the kimchi so you get the solid. Chop that up. You should have used a daikon, but we didn't have any radishes, so there's no radish in there, but that's fine too. And then add to that, you know, just a sprinkling of your rice vinegar, maybe a little bit of the, well, definitely a little bit of the kimchi juice, and honey.
Can I come to your house one day when we can mix together and you can absolutely show me? Because I have never had much luck. I've tried lots of pickling and I don't know. I've got pickling deficit or something like that. I don't know.
It's funny, when I make sauerkraut, I don't like eating it because I always think it's gone off.
That's the whole point.
Kimchi, I can eat till it's coming down my ears. But sauerkraut, and I even emptied a bottle of sauerkraut because it had been there for, I don't know, probably, well, longer than I'd care to announce, but definitely 3 years.
Yeah, me too, yeah. Me too.
I just don't eat it because it terrifies me. I don't understand.
Yeah, me too.
I really want to.
Me too, yeah.
Well, I'm glad we share that fear. So, yes, you must come round and have a little look at the kimchi.
Can I tell you about what I cooked last night? Because after our lovely walk, I was absolutely starving.
Yes.
And so I don't know. I had a limited ingredients. So I found a recipe that had everything in it. And that was BBC. No, it wasn't BBC. It was somebody else. Anyway, I made a chickpea and apricot tagine.
Oh.
And I used saffron as well. I had saffron, ginger, cinnamon, cumin, lemon, honey.
All my favourite things.
It said onion, but I'm trying not to eat onions because I don't really agree with my tummy. So right. I used leek. And cut up dried apricots and chickpeas and... I didn't say garlic, did I? Anyway, that goes without saying.
That sounds amazing. But
loads and loads of toasted almonds. Oh, loads of parsley.
Gorgeous.
Parsley, which I've got a most amazing clump of parsley in my garden. Flat-leaf parsley. And when I went out by torchlight to cut some, it was all going frosty. but it has survived the night, thank goodness.
Great.
So that was lovely. And with rice, I messed up the couscous. I was cooking couscous and I haven't made it for years and I did it wrong. So I did rice and some roasted veggies and that was delicious.
I think I'd be inclined to say that couscous can be fickle.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's
naughty.
Naughty couscous. But that sounds amazing. And it sounds like you could very easily have put a lamb in there without even noticing.
You probably could have done, yeah. It was very, very nice, unexpectedly lovely. Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
And what a hearty, wintry, flavoury thing to eat.
Oh, it wasn't heavy, you know. It was very sort of filling, but I didn't feel heavy. It was lovely.
Yeah, it's good. I think dinners like that, which don't feel too heavy, are good.
Don't get me wrong.
No.
Sometimes it's nice to feel there is a time and a place for it.
I am doing it rather a lot at the moment, though.
Me too.
I'm eating a lot of bread.
Are you?
Well, yes. But, you know...
What do you have with your bread?
Well, you see, we got for Christmas a jar of homemade Dundee marmalade.
Ooh.
From the country
Dundee
market.
Dundee marmalade. Is that from Dundee Oranges? Dundee Oranges.
Is that a type of orange? I don't know. It's the really heavy one. It's sort of like a...
Oh, whiskey.
Kind of,
it must be whiskey that makes it.
Yeah, it's quite a dark one. Well, actually, in this case, it's black treacle.
Is it?
Yes, black treacle, sugar, and oranges. It's divine.
Is it one of Trish's?
It's one of Trish's, yes.
Yeah. And
it's divine.
So you have had that on
Well,
Thursday.
I just think if one is out doing lots of gardening, then you need to have a little bit more of a hearty, sugary breakfast,
definitely.
Frankly. I mean, a porridge can only go so far, because once you run out of that energy slowly disappearing,
you need to have
something to keep you going. So
I thought,
and of course, Jenny can cook those 3-hour loaves. I'll just, you know, so easy now. I can make them with my eyes closed. So
fantastic.
Well, yes, but we're eating too much bread. But anyway.
Yeah, I was eating too much bread and I've had a few days off and My waist size has gone down very quickly.
Isn't it funny how that works?
It is funny, yeah. Yeah, strange, but so I do feel better, but I did crave some this morning instead of the porridge, yes. So I actually had two slices of toast, one with Marmite and one with honey. And a nice cup of tea, or that's so simple things of life.
Simple things in life.
Sometimes, yeah.
Butter and Marmite.
Butter and delicious. Yeah.
Butter and honey, full stop.
Butter and jam.
I'm just going to tell you about one more culinary thing. I don't know if you discovered it. There's a peanut butter made in Yorkshire. Goes by the name of Yorkshire peanut butter, funnily enough. Comes in a large tin. Looks like a paint tin. You can get it in Asda or you can get it online via the makers of it in Yorkshire. And it's the best peanut butter I've ever had.
So what makes it Yorkshire?
I'm not sure. I haven't quite figured that one out yet.
I'm very intrigued.
Me too. I'm so intrigued. I'm just going to go and get a pot. So just bear with me, listeners, and just wait.
Yes,
wait.
I will. You got it? I'm really intrigued. Has it got strong tea in it or something? No. Dust.
Spread the love. There we go. Look.
Wow.
And it's palm oil free, made in Yorkshire. It's munchy, so it's not quite smooth and it's not quite crunchy, which is my favourite.
Oh, lovely.
It's slightly salted with a sea salt, obviously.
Yeah.
It says here, in our little factory in Huddersfield...
Hey.
I knew you were going to do that. We slowly roast our peanuts. So see, this is the thing. Do you grow peanuts in Yorkshire?
Well, exactly.
It's not... I mean, I wouldn't...
Our peanuts.
We roast... Yes, exactly. Our peanuts in small batches and then carefully grind them until they naturally attain a smunchy texture. Then we add a pinch of salt, sea salt, that's it. Our peanut butter is made with traditional Yorkshire peanut butter.
Very strange, very odd. Perhaps they grow peanuts in the Yorkshire Triangle where they grow the rhubarb.
Maybe.
I have to say that, I don't know if you bought these, but you know Salt's Farm?
Yes.
They sell the most delicious bags of roasted, unsalted peanuts.
Wow.
And they are absolute, I mean, I love salt, but they're super delicious because you can really taste the roastedness
rather than the salt.
Yeah.
Two go hand in hand, if you ask me, though. Frankly.
So next time you go there, or if I go there, I'll get
I mean, you know, I came in a close second for that job there, so I don't really like going there now.
Oh, you never know. They might have you on a B-list.
I'm too busy now. I'm too busy.
Oh, okay.
They missed that boat.
They'll be sorry.
They missed the treat. They could have had something working for them, and they didn't. But
yeah, that would have been lovely.
There we are. Now, the other bombshell is we were going to have a curry tonight, but we're not. So that means that it's a mystery. Now, the question is, having had fish pie for the last 2-3 nights, do we have fish and chips?
Oh, well, there's a good question. It is Friday.
It is Friday, yes.
Yes, and also it's getting a little bit late to make sure you've got all the ingredients that
something. Just, you know, whiz out. I tell you what the other thing is that annoys me about these dark evenings, I will say this to you, I keep forgetting to take my food compost out to the garden and then all of a sudden it's dark.
Yes,
and then all of a sudden I don't want to go out.
No, it's true. I don't have that problem, but you were... telling me that you were thinking of starting a community composting.
Definitely doing that this year once I've read the 62-page document, yes.
Yeah, well, and I concurrently, along with your idea, I'm definitely going... My garden's too small for a compost heap, dear listener. And
is it, though? Is it?
It is, because... I've got flowers and things, but then I grow veggies in between the flowers, and I'd need to put it in a corner, I think, probably. I think I've got lots of wood that I was going to make it with, but I suddenly, I don't know, maybe one day when we can...
I've helped, maybe I could have come and have a look around. Maybe
yeah,
I
have
could
a come look.
And look around, give
I
us some more support.
Woodwich would do, but anyway, so I'm going to bag it
right.
up.
Yes.
Until I have a big bag, and then schlep over to the allotment.
Oh, that's right.
It,
you
put
said
it on the allotment. Allotment.
The beauteous. The beauteous allotment compost
heap.
Yeah. What
an
amazing resource.
I have to say that I used to work with a lady. I used to work in a school kitchen, not just any old school kitchen,
no.
but an M&S school. No, it but
oh.
anyway, they used to do lovely proper food and everything. It was very nice. And there was a lovely lady called Sue, who I worked with, who was New Zealander and lived here most of her life. And she was a crazy, crazy ecologist and gardener. And she had an allotment. And one of the things, she used to take home everything on the tube to Barnes, where she lived, two carrier bag fulls of, you know, when you buy cress, you have to cut off that little base bit.
Yes.
She used to have carrier bags. Carrier bags full of them.
Of the bottom of the stems of
yes,
the cress.
Yes, and all the peelings, choppings, roots. She used to
Great.
Take them all home on the tube.
Why not?
I know, what a star.
Why not?
And put them on her compost heap.
Why not?
I love that sort of pioneering thing.
Well, you know, it brings us back to putting your leaves on the beds. I mean, it's the most
Absolutely.
Natural thing to do. That's what nature
yeah.
would do, so why wouldn't
Absolutely.
We?
Absolutely.
And it keeps the weeds at bay and it keeps the soil moist and it, you know.
Yes. Yes.
Brings the robins and they swear at you and what well, in translated as gorgeous bird song and then everything is tickety poo.
Yes.
So there.
Lovely.
Well,
lovely.
On that bombshell, I think I should go and have a chat with Mr. Timbalina about what he does want to have for dinner. And so
yes, so you can go to Marino's.
Yes.
And what would you have then? Do you just have cod and chips?
I'll probably just have a straight cod, now that it's
yeah.
not endangered. Now that it's not
yeah.
endangered, I'd have a straight
that's
cod.
That's right, that's right.
Just very quickly, though, I told you I got a new mattress, didn't I?
Oh, yes. Tell.
Changed my life.
No, really?
Changed my life.
What name?
Well, it's Sleep Easy, which, as it turns out, is the same ones that you get in the Travelodge.
Oh, is
you know?
It?
Yes.
Okay.
But it's also sanctioned by, you know, it's got one of those little crests of the Duchy of
yes.
Cornwall, which is Prince
Ooh.
Charles. So it comes
Ooh.
With a little signed photo of Prince Charles and Lady Camilla.
You're kidding.
Lying there on the very same mattress, post-coital, smoking a cigarette. You know, the two of them, gorgeous, sort of fogged around the edge. And it says, we sanction this mattress. I don't know if they actually sanctioned that particular mattress, but changed my life. I don't quite understand how or why it took me so long to figure out that actually if I got a new mattress it would make everything better, but it did, and now I'm going to start advocating free mattresses for everybody.
I think that would be a very good that sounds like a brilliant idea.
Nice night's sleep.
Yes, that would be good. I actually sleeping better now because I got back my duvet.
Mm.
So I was using all sorts of other things. And
what, instead of a duvet?
No, I used quilts and blankets.
Right.
And
okay.
then I had another duvet, which was
yeah.
from IKEA. But my duvet was feather. And I've had it for years. And I lent it. And anyway, I got it back. And that's changed my life as well.
Mm.
It's so snuggly. And it reminds me of when I first went to Switzerland and experienced my first duvet.
Duvet, yes, of course,
yes,
didn't we,
yes,
though?
Yes, because they had them first. They had them first, didn't they?
Germany was mine, I think.
Yeah, I think I was 15 or 14 or something.
But didn't they just come in and take over everything, just like that? One day we were using folded sheets and thick blankets. The
and
next minute we all had a duvet.
Eiderdowns are good, though.
Eiderdowns are good.
Yes.
My grandma had a pink one, a pink silky one, which I loved.
Yeah, yeah. I like the paisley ones. They did some of the
Oh,
ones.
Nice.
Paisley. Very tasteful, yeah.
But anyway, I thought I'd share that with you, so that's
Thank
nice.
You. Thank
yes.
you. That's good to know. I'm sure our listener that's struggling with sleep
Yes,
will
be inspired.
Will be looking online tomorrow.
Yeah, for a sleep easy.
To get the best
yes.
price, but don't go to Amazon.
No, exactly.
They'll come up first with the best price, but if you look
Don't
carefully,
go to Amazon.
You'll find somewhere. Yeah.
Don't go to Amazon. Although did you hear that this is, you know, sorry, just last note. Elon Musk, maker of the Tesla cars, now richer than Bezos. $188 billion.
Richer. Is he the richest man in the world?
He now is. Yes. He's just eclipsed Bezos. He's eclipsed the Amazon.
Right. Well, Bezos is gonna worry about that, isn't he?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Anyway, well, thank you for that inciting.
Well, you know me.
Insightful note.
Always full of these little nuggets. I think also we need to make a little shout out to our friend Tom in Bristol.
Yes, Tom in Bristol. We love you.
And thank you, Tom. He sent a note saying that he's going to an artist retreat in Chepstow and would love it. He said all he needs now to make it complete is a life from my podcast.
Oh, well, we can give him this one.
So there we are. I think we'll do that.
And
we'll
do that. I don't think that there might not be an M&S. I think he's an M&S fan, isn't he?
Yes.
There might not be one in Chepstow, but anyway,
that's a very interesting point. In fact, I look forward to maybe we could call him in and he can tell us what he did where there wasn't an M&S.
How wonderful.
I would love to hear all about that. Yes. Some delicious pictures of frosty mornings in Chepstow there. He's been sharing.
Oh, I can imagine.
Very lovely.
Yes.
Anyway.
If we didn't have to stop, I've got a little story about M&S, but I won't do it now.
Oh no, do it now.
No.
Okay,
no.
Save it. Oh, there we go. We'll have to tune in for next time. Well, it's been a while, but what a joy.
What a joy. I've loved it. And dear listeners, thank you so much for being faithful to us.
And we'll see you again very soon. We will indeed.
Yes,
thank you. Goodbye from me, Timberlina.
And it's goodbye from me, Justina. And lots of love.
And lots of love, and keep warm and happy and sane.
Stay safe.
Okay.
Yeah,
lots of
absolutely.
Love.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.